evening, good morning to each and every listener on the broadcast. I'm so happy to be coming your way once again. It's certainly the mercy of God, which has been extended to all of us to reach this day and hour. Notice the scripture here in the book of Job, chapter 37, beginning with verse 5. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he said to the snow, be thou on the earth. Now, we've seen a lot of that during the winter, haven't we? We're so glad to have the spring come. Likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh a whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened. Also by watering he wearieth the thick cloud. He scatters his bright cloud, and it is turned round about by his counsel, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world and the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Job 37, from verse 5 through verse 13. Now, here he's speaking about the elements of the earth, the clouds, and the rain, and the snow, and so on, how they come. And he pointed out three things, three purposes for these things. Number one was for correction. Number two, for his land. And number three, for mercy. Now, right while I'm making this tape for the broadcast, the north wind is doing quite a bit of howling around outside. And it's interesting to notice how God has a hand in these things in the world. Many times folks will think that things just happen, you know, by chance. But, you know, God has a hand in these things which come. We need to look for his purpose and try to fit our lives into his plan and purpose. Now, notice that the number one thing here that it mentions for correction. Now, at one time, good many years ago, down in the land of Egypt, there were some people held in captivity. They were slaves. And God wasn't pleased with this situation. So he began to stretch forth his hand and talk to his servant Moses and Aaron and began to work there with this land of Egypt. And in talking to Moses, listen to what God said. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, from the land of Egypt by great judgment. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. Exodus 7, 4, and 11. Well, now, as God began to stretch forth his hand and do marvelous things, there are about 10 things that God did. You may recall some of them. Number one, the waters were turned to blood. This was a frightful thing that happened in the land, and it was for correction. Now, remember, we're talking about God doing these things for correction. He was correcting a situation that existed here, which wasn't good. So the waters were turned to blood. It was certainly a frightful thing, a terrible thing that happened. The streams, the creeks, just turned to blood. And on, different things began to happen. The second thing, the frogs came up just by the thousands. They came into the bedrooms. They got into the dough and into the ovens. And they came up out of these rivers and creeks. It was terrible, these things. God was doing it for correction. Number three, the dust became light. Moses just sprinkled some dust in the air, and the lice began to just multiply by the thousands. Now, the magicians had accomplished the first two things, the turning of the water into blood and the bringing forth of frogs, but when this happened, they couldn't produce the lice, And they made a statement there that rings out down through the ages. Listen. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Isn't that marvelous to think that they even recognized that God was doing this for a correction? And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said, Exodus 8:19. So the Lord just continued to send these things. Then came swarms of flies, just thousands upon thousands of flies, into the houses and all over. It was a miserable thing. Then the murrain, it was an affliction of the cattle, and the cattle died, just many, many died. Then boils came upon man. Now this would be terrible too, but God was doing these things for correction. Now people might try to figure out, well, what's the cause? What's the reason for all of this? Really, it boiled down to the very simple fact that God was talking. Then came the hail and lightning and the fire. Listen, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. Exodus 9:14. Skipping on down a little bit now, and Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Exodus 9:23-26. So as I say, God was bringing these things for correction. And then came the locust, and the Lord turned to my... First the locust just filled the land with it. And I want to show you how the Lord dispensed with them when the time came. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. Exodus 10:19. Isn't that wonderful how the Lord can take these things away? Friends, if you get in trouble, begin looking to the Lord as to what might be the reason and what you should do. Then there was darkness in the land. This was a frightful thing, too. Darkness for, I think, about 3 days just covered the land. And the tenth marvelous thing which God did in this day of long ago, he sent the death angel through the land and took out the firstborn among the Egyptian families. Now, there were other times when God sent correction upon the people for their sins and their transgression. Even the children of Israel sometimes suffered because of their sins. Listen, and thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Deuteronomy 28:23-24. This was the warning if they forsook the Lord. Now we come to item number two, why the Lord sends some of these things upon the earth. And number two is for his land. Isn't that good to know that God is mindful of the earth and sends a rain upon it? Listen, Elijah, now James is talking about Elijah, and he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So after about 3 years and 6 months, God sent the rain upon the earth. Then again we find, back in Job this time, 38:25 through verse 27, who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth, where no man is? It's even out far away from where people may be, on the wilderness, wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the tender herb to spring forth. So it's the goodness of God that sends the rain and the sunshine upon the earth. In fact, these things are so intermingled and intertwined, the correction and the blessing of the earth and the mercy, that sometimes they're just combined together. Listen, and also, I am withholding the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon and one piece whereupon it rained not withered. Amos 4:7. This is a warning to the people of God. Down in verse 13, we find these words. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Friends, I think folks should wake up and give attention when God speaks. Now, the third thing, I must hasten on. The third thing God sends upon the earth is for mercy. All the mercy and the love of God, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Jesus speaking now, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5:45. Friends, the Lord is letting his mercy be extended to you and to me today. He's good to you. He's good to me. He sends the rain, the sunshine, the soft breezes, the fruit of the earth. Listen, again, Matthew 6:26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Can you not have faith in God to know that he will care for you? Can you not cast your all upon him and know that God cares for you? Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Our Father, we thank you today for the goodness and mercy of God. We know that in kindness sometimes you even send judgments upon those who forsake their own mercy. We ask you today to withdraw the soul of every man and woman back from their evil intentions and ways that would lead them away from thee, and show them the love and mercy of God. Their hearts must soften and turn to you before it is too late, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, friends, for a few moments out of your time. Do be with us again next Sunday, same time, same station. And if we may be of some spiritual help to you, be sure to let us know. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.